Now, who would have thought back in January, earlier this year, that 2020 would turn out the way that it has? I think you'll probably agree. This year has been a crazy year, and all because of a microscopic virus that has macroscopic effects. Worldwide, to date, over 1.4 million people have died because of COVID-19. I guess we're all longing for this to be over, right? And we're probably hoping for as normal a Christmas season this year as possible. In the midst of a changing and chaotic world, it's reassuring to be reminded that there is someone who's in control and who's working out all things in history in accordance with a perfect plan. We need to remember that God is in control, and he's got a plan, a positive plan to bring light and life to this world through his word. This is something that the Apostle John reflects upon in the introduction to his gospel with the famous words, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Not just that, but according to John, this eternal Word of God amazingly became flesh and dwelt among us, thereby revealing God to us. And friends, this is the deeper significance of Christmas. When baby Jesus was born in Bethlehem, lying there in the manger was the eternal Word of God, who was entering into the world in order to shine forth the light of God's glory and to bring in life in all its fullness. Notice how in John 1 we have an amazing tapestry of Word, light, and life. Verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Verse 4, "In him was life, and the life was the light of mankind." Verse 5, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Verse 9, "The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world." And verse 14, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Here we see Word, light, and life all linked together. And the question is, why is John emphasizing these particular themes? Why does John, when introducing us to Jesus, instead of recounting how Jesus was born in Bethlehem, like we get in, say, Matthew and Luke's Gospels, here we see John focusing on Jesus as the Word who has come to bring light and life into the world? Why does he do this? Well, please note, this isn't just random thinking on John's part. Did anyone notice how John starts off his gospel? Right at the beginning of the reading that was just read out to us, did you notice what starts things off? What's the phrase that begins the gospel of John? Well, you probably know it. There, in John chapter 1, verse 1, John says, "In the beginning was the Word." John starts off his gospel and his introduction here to Jesus with the phrase, "In the beginning." And this too isn't random. Like, have you heard that phrase elsewhere before? Where do we get "in the beginning" elsewhere in the Bible? Well, you probably know this one too. "In the beginning" occurs right at the very start of the Bible, doesn't it? Back in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Very first verse of the Bible. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Now, what's happening here is, I think, that by starting off his gospel with the phrase, "in the beginning," the Apostle John wants us to reflect upon Jesus' coming into the world in the light of Genesis chapter 1. So, what do we see back there in Genesis chapter 1? Well, Genesis chapter 1 tells us not just that God created the world, but more importantly, it tells us how God created the world. This is important to know because how God created the world actually reveals to us something about God's ultimate plan for this world. In Genesis 1:1, we're told that back at the beginning of time, God created the universe. And that's pretty amazing to think about. This vast and awesome universe. God created all of this. But the surprising thing is, when God first created the universe, it was incomplete. We can see this in verse 2. God created the universe. Does anyone remember? What was it like? It was surprisingly formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. That doesn't sound too good, really. Formlessness, emptiness, and darkness. There was a lack of shape, a lack of life, and a lack of light. But at the same time, the Spirit of God was present, hovering over the surface of the waters. Things may have looked dark and empty, but with the Spirit of God being present, the situation was pregnant with life-giving potential. But the thing is, we're meant to see that after God's initial creation of the universe, here on planet Earth, there were three problems that needed to be overcome. The problems of formlessness, emptiness, and darkness. A world that is a dark, lifeless, chaotic mess. Why would God create such a world? Such a world would seem to be pretty useless, really. So why would God make a world like that? Well, he did so for a purpose. For an initial period of time, the world was a dark, lifeless, chaotic blob. But this was just the starting point. This was just the initial canvas upon which we see God doing his work. The important detail lies in what God did to solve these three problems. What did God do to transform the dark, lifeless, chaotic blob into something full of beauty and life and light? Have a look in Genesis 1 verses 3 and 4. The answer is, God spoke. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. Here we see God overcoming the problem of darkness by creating light. And the key thing to note is God created light by speaking it into existence. After creating the light, what do we see God doing next? We see God shaping the world. He separates the water above from the water below, creating sky and sea. Then he separates the sea from the land. In doing this, God is overcoming the problem of formlessness by giving the world form. He creates the basic shape of the world with the realms of land, sea, and sky. And then, after giving form to the world, he overcomes the problem of emptiness by filling those realms of land, sea, and sky. The land is filled with plants. The sky is filled with the sun, moon, and stars. The sea is filled with marine animals. And the sky further filled with birds. And the land filled even more with animals, and also with two humans with reproductive potential. So we see here in Genesis 1 how God overcame the problems of formlessness, emptiness, and darkness. But the important thing is how he did this. He overcame the formlessness, emptiness, and darkness by speaking his word. In fact, 10 times in Genesis 1, the phrase, "and God said," occurs. Once in day 1, once in day 2, twice in day 3, once in day 4, once in day 5, and 4 times in day six. Now, this tenfold use of "and God said" is meant to grab our attention. It's an important detail. It functions to tell us that God creates light, order, and life through his word. In other words, according to Genesis 1, light and life come through the word of God. And friends, this is why I believe that God created the world the way he did. He actually created it with a message in mind. You see, God didn't have to create the world in stages over 6 days. He didn't have to do it that way. If he wanted to, God could have created everything fully complete, right from the very beginning. But he didn't do it that way. And the question is, why? Why did God create the world initially as a dark, lifeless, chaotic blob, only then to illuminate and shape and fill it? Well, I believe God deliberately created the world in the way that he did in order to indicate to us his ultimate plan for the world. In other words, the way God created the world is a kind of prophetic action. Not only did God create the world, but through the manner in which he created it, God was signaling his ultimate purpose for the world. That through his word, he is going to bring light and life into this world. God's plan basically is to overcome darkness and death through his word. I hope you can see how Genesis 1 is teaching us this. Genesis 1 is not just telling us, but it's actually showing us as we see God in action when he creates the world. It's showing us that God's word brings light. It's showing us that God's word brings life. So, if Genesis 1 is saying this, it makes perfect sense then to understand that the Apostle John picked up on this and that he saw Jesus as the ultimate fulfillment of God's prophetic action back there in Genesis 1. Genesis 1 says, "In the beginning, God brought physical light and physical life into the world through his word." And John 1 says, just as God did that in the beginning, so too now in Jesus we have the word of God incarnate, bringing spiritual light and spiritual life into the world. In this way, Jesus is the fulfillment of the prophetic action of God inherent in the way in which God created the world back in the beginning. Now, friends, if this connection between John 1 and Genesis 1 is true, then the implication of this is truly profound. It means that even from the very beginning, God knew that he would one day enter into the world in the person of Jesus to reveal himself to us and to bring the light of his glory and the power of eternal life into the world. And that's amazing to think about. And ultimately, this is also the message of Christmas. This is what Christmas is all about. Jesus, the light of the world. Jesus, the one who gives life to all who believe in him. So, after a very chaotic year, I believe it's great to be reminded once again that God has always had a plan. God's plan is to bring light and life into the world through Jesus, the Word of God incarnate. Now, much has changed in our world this year. But nothing has changed in terms of God's plan for this world through Jesus. Light and life through the Word. This is what we celebrate every Christmas, and this Christmas, really, it shouldn't be any different.